Alright, it is a special Sunday evening edition of the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast, episode 311. I'm Elio, he's Ben. Ben, we were supposed to be here last night.
Yes, and hopefully we don't run into the same issues, or else I might have a Mommy Dearest worthy episode.
My goodness, I was sitting here, then your screen just froze, and I was just, and I ended up just talking to myself. I'm like, I think my co-host has been frozen in time. He transported to another dimension.
Yes, the DeLorean was malfunctioning, apparently.
So we decided to cut it for last night, and we are back here this evening to record this week's episode.
Yes, we might as well call tonight's episode take two.
We can do that, take two. Because, you know what, let me write that down so I don't forget.
Because that's exactly what this is. So far, not to jinx it, but so far it seems like we're doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. But yes, so we'll start off very quickly, just so we don't have to start over, hopefully. So I'm gonna deviate from tradition a little bit and have Elio start us off with his raw high points and low points. Elio, what do you got?
So of course, this past week I didn't watch much wrestling, but like on the days that they were on, because I was busy taking care of something which took place on Thursday morning. So I don't necessarily have high points and low points, but I get the results here, and I'll just go off of this. For me, high point, I don't know if there was something in the water in Ohio, because what is going on? Imperium breaks up, Judgment Day is falling apart. What?
Well, yes, and when I get to the Imperium portion of the show, I have my own very candid thoughts on that. So stay tuned for that.
So I mean, I guess we can start with the Awesome Truth versus DIY. It was a good match. I see DIY. I guess they're gonna split those guys up.
Well, I don't know why you would split them up. I mean, they barely got started on the main roster, but
it's kind of weird. I don't know why.
But I guess if I'm being honest, I prefer heel Tommaso Ciampa to a face Tommaso Ciampa. So
maybe he wants Goldie back. And he had, yes, and that's why he needs to get rid of Johnny Gargano, so he can go after Goldie again.
Exactly.
Okay, a low point for me. The high point of this match was, it was surprising, Imperium imploding with Ludwig Kaiser attacking Giovanni Vinci, and I guess Ludwig and Walter are on the same page.
Yes.
So, that was a high point, but for me, the low point for me was New Day was so annoying at the beginning with their promo.
Yeah. New Day, at least in my opinion, you know, I'll always appreciate them because I love all three of those guys. And, but it just, they are a classic example, I believe, of something having run its course.
Yeah, how many years has it been now? Like, about 10?
I think it's been at least almost like a decade and a half now. So it's like really weird. Yeah,
10 and a half years. A decade is 10, Ben.
No, I said decade and a half, which is 15. So.
Oh, okay.
At least it feels like it's been that long. But yeah, so before I take off, do you have anything else?
Okay, I guess low point. I got the whole Rikishi Andrade Judgment Day falling apart. And the main event. Okay, Becky Lynch winning the women's championship. I'm good with that, though. I think it. Though I want to see Shayna Baszler have a title run. I mean, like, she's been
Yeah,
there for how long, and they've not given her one title run.
well, that is just a miscarriage of justice, let me tell you.
Oh, Gorilla Monsoon reference.
Exactly. You caught that. Very good. I don't have to say it's a happening, so we could be already got our Gorilla reference in there. But for me, high points and low points, largely I agree with you, but I'm just gonna expand on a couple things.
Okay.
Since I saw the show in its entirety and you, for very good reason, did not. So let me fill in some of the gaps for you.
Okay.
I'm gonna start with low points. Because I feel like there were a lot more of those. Okay. Now, Damian Priest being World Heavyweight Champion is awesome, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want that to get lost in what I'm about to say. But his delivery in this promo that he had with Jay was terrible. Okay. Absolutely awful. This is the worst that I've ever heard come out of Damian Priest. And, if they're going to continue in this direction now that it seems like Judgment Day might have to go in a different direction with the injuries of Rhea and Dom, he might have to drastically clean that up, or they're gonna have to keep him as a heel. Me personally, I would keep him as a heel for now, but I can see them turning him babyface, but just not right now while he's still associated with Judgment Day.
Ben, let me tell you, this whole yeet thing is getting on my nerves.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I looked up, it's so funny, 'cause I know we've had this conversation before, but I shit you
Yep.
not, because I double checked it, right? Recently.
Yep.
Okay, because I looked up what yeet meant, because I'm trying to figure out, how did they get up, how did they come up with yeet for Jey Uso? Because
Yeah.
it's a very annoying term, and
It is annoying. It's
I
this generation's bullshit. What chance?
just
Stop.
But
Right.
maybe it's
Stop
just,
it. Don't leave me mad.
maybe it's just that we're too old to, I don't know. But yeet means to throw something across the room,
Yes, it
okay? And
does.
I'm not
No, yes,
sure
it
what.
does.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that has to do with Jey
I don't
Uso,
fucking know.
but. I don't know. I don't
I
know.
don't know.
Exactly. I love it when Elio does that. It's one of my favorite things. I'm sorry. But yeah, this yeet thing is getting old. But having said that, I am a gigantic fan of Jey Uso. So I think his delivery was fine, but Damian Priest needs some help in that category. Then I have to tell you the truth. DIY versus Awesome Truth. It was probably, wrestling wise, the best thing on the show, so. I'll give that a high point, but I'm gonna stick with low points for now. But
Okay.
like I said, there's a lot more of that. So the New Day versus Imperium, I'm just so tired of it. It's either the New Day versus Imperium or the New Day versus
They even brought it up themselves. How many times
Tri
have we faced you guys?
and it's just ridiculous. So I wasn't really interested. And then so what I'm about to say next is a high point and a low point all mixed up, right?
Okay.
So the dissolution of Imperium as we know it with Kaiser turning on Vinci. Okay? Now the execution of that I absolutely loved. Kaiser came off like a psychopath, much like he did when he attacked. I think it was Kofi Kingston, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And so the fact that he had a callback to that while they were facing New Day, kind of cool. And Walter, I shall not call him Gunther's, reaction to that was absolutely awesome. But here's the low point in that. So they just figured out the tag team situation with the championships, and now it looks like they're splitting up both Imperium and Judgment Day. And I'm not sure if Imperium, Judgment Day, and DIY. So I'm not really sure how that bodes well for the tag division. And Imperium, in my opinion, is the best tag team that they have. So from that perspective, I'm not feeling that too much.
Ben, I have a question for you.
Yes.
If it's going to be Ludwig Kaiser and Walter moving forward, are they going to replace Giovanni Vinci with a third member, or is it just to be the two of them?
I would just have it be the two of them,
Okay.
because when you start messing with band members and replacing people,
Yeah.
it's never as good as it once was. So
So
I would just,
I'm guessing Giovanni Vinci's a face.
I'm not sure if this move bodes too well for his future in the WWE. I'm
Oh
not,
boy. Well, we'll see how it works out.
but nonetheless, so then the next low point I had was hold on, I'm scrolling. I agree with you with Santos Escobar and JD McDonagh versus Ricochet and Andrade, because I'm just trying to figure out why. And toward the end there were some miscommunications and some, sloppy looking spots. And then the main event. Okay. I understand why they did it this way with the women's battle royal. I do. So I don't want to come down too hard on it, folks. Because I think it was obvious that it was going to come down to the three women that finished the match, which was Becky Lynch, Liv Morgan, and Nia Jax. I think that was extremely obvious. And I saw a lot of people on social media take issue with the fact that Becky won it and not Liv Morgan or Nia Jax. And usually I kind of roll my eyes when it comes to social media wrestling takes, because it opens up an entire can of worms. However, in this case, I see where people are coming from, because Becky just lost to Rhea at WrestleMania, so why would we give the title to Becky in the aftermath of all that, despite the injury? Why not give it to somebody new? And that argument makes perfect sense to me, so I'm not making fun of that at all. I think the answer is they want to put it on somebody established, number one, because they don't have a lot of big stars established in that women's division now that Rhea is out. And number two, I personally think is going to mean more for whoever wins that title next, because I don't think Becky's going to hold on to it very long. It'll mean more when Becky drops it to that person versus if they just win it in a battle royal situation. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, because I don't know about you folks, but for me, and I want to get Elio's take on this as well, if it's not the Royal Rumble, I'm not really interested in battle royals.
I've never been a big fan of the Battle Royals. Like, the only Battle Royal I like is what you just said, the Royal Rumble. Because you have
Exactly.
surprises. Battle Royals, you already know who's in there, and you're just sitting there. It's basically like watching a regular wrestling match, except you have multiple wrestlers in the ring all at once.
And for me, it's very hard to follow.
Yeah.
You
Like,
know.
I mean, I've covered Battle Royals where, it's like I've missed eliminations because like I'm trying to follow everything from like if someone gets eliminated from the left side of the screen, or someone's on the right side, and then I missed the other one.
Yeah, it's like the cameras can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
And I don't even blame the camera people for this one. Usually back in the day, I would blame Kevin Dunn's camera cuts, but I can't do that anymore. Yeah, that's pretty much all I had for Monday Night Raw. Did you have anything else you wanted to add before we move on?
No, that was it. I guess we can move on to NXT. Let me just pull up the results here for NXT. And this was week one of Spring Breakin'.
Yay!
And
Hooray!
right, so let me just have technical issues here with this. Stop pulling up X. Damn it.
Okay, technology is starting to piss off Elio live on the BMT
Fuck.
Progression Wrestling Podcast. I'm not sure if that's a good omen for how I'm going to fare for the rest of it.
Right, here we go. So we start out with the women's NXT Women's Championship or three-way with Roxanne Perez, Lyra Valkyrie, and Tatum Paxley. This was a good match. I like Roxanne Perez as a heel.
Yeah, but I have a question for you because, as
What's
you
up?
know, I don't watch NXT on a daily basis because I can't stand it.
Yes. Yep.
But what was Tatum Paxley doing in a championship situation?
I'm not sure. Like, they had her. Okay. So. Bef she's now a heel. She was a face, but then she turned on Lyra a couple of weeks back. So now apparently she's a heel, and I guess she inserted herself in this championship match. So who knows? But Roxanne Perez picking up the win in this one. The next one I don't really care about. I don't care. You had No Quarter Catch Crew defeating. No, sorry, you had the family defeating No Quarter Catch Crew.
What is No Quarter Catch Crew's purpose? I don't understand
Have no idea. I have no idea now.
it.
I'm guessing the family are heels, so that would make No Quarter Catch Crew faces, which makes no sense because Charlie Dempsey's not a baby face.
He's the son of William Regal, for Christ's sake. Can we
He's
get him
not
involved in something serious?
a
For
baby
the
face, so
love
I
of
don't
God.
understand. I don't understand. All right, then we had
Exactly.
Jada Parker defeating Fallon Henley. This was a high point for me. I didn't mind this match, but the next one I didn't really care for at all. Sol Ruka versus defeating Blair Davenport in a beach brawl.
What
Why
the
don't you
fuck is
just call it a
that?
Falls Count Anywhere?
because it has to be spring break themed. And I wish I was being facetious, but I do like Sal Ruka's new finisher, like the upside down RKO.
Yeah, I was sorry
I
about
think
that.
that, yeah,
The
I
first
think
time I
that's
saw
amazing.
her, the first time I saw her, she had a match against Lola Vice on NXT Level Up. That was a good match, which was much better than the rematch she had on NXT.
Yeah, NXT's not hitting, but let's talk about the big news about coming out of NXT Spring Break.
Oh no, one more thing, one more thing. When low,
Yeah.
the this is the low point that I have is Lexus King defeating Baron Corbin. I really don't know what they're doing with Lexus King.
I don't get it. And folks, it pains me. It pains me to say that because you're not going to run into a bigger fan of Brian Pillman, his dad, than me. Oh, it's just not going to happen. My mom was calling flying Brian Pillman to the dinner table when I was a little squirt,
Oh
okay?
my God.
So,
I can just see actually mom flying Brian, dinner's ready. Meanwhile, flying Brian's rolling to the kitchen table in his chair, his electric limo.
I didn't have a chair back then, though. I didn't get a chair till I was 14, though.
Oh,
So
wait, okay.
I was in a walker full time until I was 14.
Well, still, he teleported to the dinner table with his walker.
Exactly. Right. So you're not gonna get a bigger Brian Pillman fan than I am. But I legitimately don't get what you're doing with Lexus King. And I do, even though I don't watch NXT weekly anymore,
Yep.
it's important to note that I do have full awareness of what's going on there because I keep track of it. So I don't want you guys to think that when I talk about NXT, oh, he has no idea what he's talking about. Because that would be a logical assumption based off what I've told you, but I just want you guys to know that I do understand what's going on there.
Now,
So,
Ben, sorry, I think Baron Corbin is listening to the show. To this
what
show.
show is this?
I think he's been listening to this show because he said what we were saying on a past episode. Yo, I think Lexus King's beard is painted on.
Exactly. I mean, it's so bad. It's so
My
bad.
God.
I mean, it looks like his stylist is the guy that did Jaafar's beard in Aladdin. I mean, shut up. Like, what is this? I don't understand it to save my life. But
But
then again, I'm not a fan of facial hair, period.
onto the new big news coming out of NXT. Trick Williams is your new NXT champion.
Okay, so first and foremost, let me ask because I know that this is going to be big news over on Wrestling POV. So please allow me to ask because I still have connections over there and I'm still very loyal to POV crew over there. Does this mean that a Trick gets removed from the 5 second shuffle, forbidden song list?
I don't think he was ever on the Forbidden Song list.
Yeah, he was. Remember, because when we would hear the whoop to that Trick, he was on the forbidden song list. And Tony was always like, well, if he wins a championship, we got to take him off.
Oh,
It was, it was.
you mean the book.
Maybe it was the book, but
Yeah,
I can't
I know,
remember.
because
But
he was on the forbidden list. It was Chris Benoit, Ash Legend, Reba Gigle, and Chillian Hall.
oh,
And
okay.
Hook.
Well, of course, Hook would be on the forbidden song
Yeah.
list, because it's Hook, for fuck's sake. But yeah, so So, what's your opinion of Trick winning the championship?
I still don't think he's ready. He has improved, but he's got a lot more work to do in the ring. And his promos, the way he talks, the way he, like when you have him interacting with other wrestlers backstage, like in the locker room, is the way his promos should sound in the ring. Because when he's backstage, that's him speaking. That's how his promos in the ring, his in-ring promos should sound.
Well, and but for all of my criticism, which I stand behind, I do think he's gotten better, and I do think he has a certain element of charisma. So, I'm not boo-hooing Trick Williams as I once was, but I'm just not, I'm still not really a fan. And I think putting the championship on him is a risk. In terms of this, in terms of the story with him and Carmelo Hayes, I think it was a logical progression to anoint Trick as the next up.
I take calls.
But I'm not sure if that's going to work out in reality. Like I said, with some of the other things, I think it's just a matter of wait and see. And I'm certainly not cheering against Trick Williams because he had, to his credit, I think he has improved enough where I'm willing to look at him through a less cloudy lens nowadays.
All right, so that is all we have for NXT. Should we take a break before we get into Dynamite?
How
Or
much time we
we
got?
do,
How
and
much time
then,
we got
well,
on the clock?
we have 6 minutes, so I think we can get it in.
Okay.
All right, so
Yeah, so
yeah, let's
this.
throw it over to Ben for Dynamite.
Okay. So thank God there's only 6 minutes in this because that means I don't have to talk about AEW that much until we get back from the break because I do have to go on a little bit of a rant. But in terms of high points to low points, the fact that Swerve Strickland did not open the show in the ring with a mic in his hand is just, I can't abide by that.
I'm sorry, what did they open the show with? Like I said, the Wednesday night, I was busy doing my stupid
So
cleansing hair, so I didn't get to see it at all.
instead of opening the show with your new champion and with a mic in his hand, we open the show with the best friends. And
Oh,
them
was that
again.
where freaking Trent was telling Chucky T to choose which one was his best friend? Okay.
So
Okay.
coming out of what coming out of arguably your best pay-per-view, that's what you open the show with. But look, I'm not one to draw the race card here because I don't like doing that. But I'm gonna drop it here for the sake of like historic significance, right? So and because I love Swerve and I would love him no, regardless of what color he is because he's fantastic. So please don't take this the wrong way. But you have Swerve Strickland, AEW's first ever black champion and black or black male heavyweight champion, and you open the show with this. You have been pushing Swerve to the moon, which is the correct move. You have him beat the savage that is Samoa Joe for his crowning moment, arguably one of the biggest moments in AEW history. And you don't open the show by giving Swerve a mic. You open the show with the best friends choosing choosing either Orange Cassidy or Trent Beretta if your name is Chuck Taylor. And no disrespect to Chuck Taylor, Trent Beretta, or Orange Cassidy, but in comparison to what they have going on with Swerve, I don't give a fuck. So that was a massive miss. And keep that in mind because when we get back from the break, I want to talk more about that. Okay, but the next low point, Anna Jay versus Mina Shirakawa, because holy fuck, why is this happening?
And Mina Shirakawa, for all you fans out there, Mina Shirakawa is from Stardom, the Stardom promotion.
And okay, so next low point. What the fuck is this Double or Nothing Gauntlet match?
Sorry,
And what?
Casino
And
Gauntlet match, what was this?
it was for an international championship match at Double or Nothing, right? So the win that's what the winner would get. And guess who it came down to?
Oh.
Will Ospreay, which I have no problem with, love Will Ospreay. But guess who he was wrestling at the end to determine? Just take a wild guess.
Jay White.
No, it was Commander.
What?
I
What? What the fuck? What? What?
have
Why?
no idea
Why?
where. I
Why?
can't help but
I want to
laugh
know
because it's
why.
so
I want a one-page essay
stupid.
describing me why.
Well, I can't write that. I mean, I used to write professionally, so should
No, you
I?
know what? Bend your excuse. All you fans out there. One of you fans, I want a one-page essay explain to me why this took place.
Well, I don't think there's enough logic on planet Earth to take that one. So
All right, fine.
that one makes absolutely no sense.
I guess I just have to stay in the dark about this one, so
And
fuck
then
it.
okay, so this, and I'm gonna go on rant about this too, but because we're on limited
No.
time in this recording, I'm just gonna say the next low point was the main event, Powerhouse Hobbs versus John Moxley for the IWGP World Title. But
Again, why? Powerhouse Hobbs has nothing to do with New Japan.
you're preaching to the choir, but keep that thought in mind, Elio, because when we get back, I'm going to go on what may be a semi-extended AEW rant based off those quick highs and lows points. I am not done with AEW Dynamite by a long shot. Stay right there, and I think you're gonna be thankful that you missed AEW by the time I'm done, Elio. So stay right there, and we'll be right back.
All right, we're back. We're going to continue with our look at AEW because Ben, you said you have a bit of a rant to go on. Go ahead.
Yes. Now, for those of you that are semi-new to this show and are not familiar with the rants that I have gone on in the past, it's been a minute since I've been on one, but I think this edition of Dynamite deserves a good old-fashioned Ben Pierce rant. So before we get into the major angle that closed the show on this week's Dynamite,
Oh,
I just
fuck.
have, yeah, I, that's a very apt description of the situation that I'm gonna describe in just a few minutes because, oh fuck, was my exact reaction when I was watching this. So let me go back and highlight a few things now that I'm not under a time constraint of the clock running down on me. Because the fact that Swerve Strickland was not considered an important topic on this show is ridiculous to me. Yes, it is insufferable the fact that he did not open or close the show with thoughts on winning the championship at Dynasty here. But here's what's even more insufferable about the Swerve Strickland situation, right? So he has a very long match with Kyle Fletcher to open the show. And I have no problem with Kyle Fletcher. I think Kyle Fletcher is very talented. And I would like to see more of him on AEW TV. But here's the situation for Kyle Fletcher. He has a very impressive match, lengthwise with Swerve Strickland, and it was just under 15 minutes to be precise. And I'm wondering to myself why he's getting so much offense in when Swerve just won the championship at Dynasty. And you're supposed to be featuring him quite heavily, and it's supposed to be a big deal, but yet he's having a very competitive match with Kyle Fletcher to kick off Dynamite with no mention of the title. It was just a cold open, and the only thing that he got that would denote it being anything special was Prince Nana introduced him to start off his entrance. There was nothing else that would denote that this was a special Dynamite of any significance. So that in and of itself irritates me. But here's my other question. And like I said, I have no problem with Kyle Fletcher, but what the fuck has Kyle Fletcher done to deserve a match with the new champion, Swerve Strickland? Because now, I have to give credit to another podcast because I did not do the research to find out this statistic. So shout out to Off the Script featuring JD from NY206 for this tasty little tidbit I'm about to drop. Apparently, Kyle Fletcher has not won a match since October 14th of 2023. And yet, he has a match against Swerve Strickland, the new champion, and I'm supposed to believe that he has a chance against this guy. Now, in all fairness to Kyle Fletcher, anybody who was put in this situation, I would have had a problem with because the way that they handled Swerve Strickland in this situation is completely piss poor. Because he was not the first thing we saw on the show. He was not the second thing we saw on the show. He was like the third or fourth thing we saw on the show. And he was not featured in the main event. What was featured in the main event, you ask? Why? It was the NJPW, IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Now, why is that featured in the main event on a show where you have a new AEW champion? I don't know, folks. I don't know. I don't know why Jon Moxley and Will Hobbs got this main event. I really don't have any idea. Now, like I said, I would have had a problem if anybody had this spot with Swerve Strickland in the match he had. But if he had been in the main event, it would have been much better than what we got. Secondly, my big issue is after this whole thing aired, and after Mr. Tony Khan got the backlash that he got for not featuring Swerve Strickland in an important role, he announced on X that Swerve would be opening AEW Collision with his first statement as champion. Now, I have not seen this yet, although I do plan on watching Collision, both because of Swerve's statement and the fact that the Grizzled Young Veterans are going to be on Collision, and apparently they were last night, and I just haven't caught it yet. So I do want to catch Collision, which I usually don't catch. But it is absurd to me that that we're in this situation, and Swerve was treated in this fashion after the defining moment of his career. It just boggles my mind. It's like if I had come on here on, like a Thursday night, or if I had gotten a call from, Wrestling POV to replace Elio for the evening on Thursday, I would have done it, but I would have been hyper as shit, because to me, this is just this is unfathomable. Because I just don't understand why you would feature so many things in a more important position than your world heavyweight champion, your history-making world champion at that. But let's talk about more issues that I have, because there's more of an issue. There's more reason for me to go on a rant here. If you can believe it, I can't. Because we didn't even cover the closing segment on the show.
Oh my God.
Because what was it? Jack Perry made his grand return
Ah, fuck him.
to, yes, for many reasons, I agree with you, which we have just discussed. Now, surprisingly, I didn't have an issue with this segment. If I'm being objective, but I had an issue with its placement, and I had an issue with Tony Khan's actions
I have an issue with it
beyond
because what the fuck, Jack?
this.
Because what the fuck, Jack Perry hit him with a microphone and he accidentally he fell to the floor like a ton of bricks, you just got stabbed. What the fuck? You got hit with a
Exactly.
microphone. Stop
And
it.
the Meltzer driver has been
Oh,
renamed
fuck
the Tony
Meltzer too.
Khan driver.
Ah, oh, shit.
It's just absurd. So based off of what we have going on and the story being told, as much as I disagree with all-in footage being aired on TV and all of that, as much as I disagree with that, at least they're making a story out of it, and you could argue that it's interesting. Do I or Elio find it interesting? No, but that's because we have an issue with Jack Perry and Tony Khan.
I have a question for
Well,
you.
yes.
Did they just turn Tony Khan into an on-air authority figure?
I don't know about an authority figure, but it seems that they've turned into an on-screen character, which if you recall, at the inception of AEW, he promised us he would never do that. Well, apparently that's not the case, because
But they went to
now
EOTV. Look at me.
exactly. But not only did he continue the angle when he was featured on TV on ESPN during the NFL draft, because for some reason he has a position of authority with the Jacksonville Jaguars because his daddy owns the team, so apparently he has the title of authority with the team. So he was featured in the draft room of the Jacksonville Jaguars during the NFL draft. And during this time, he was wearing a neck brace to sell the effects of the attack by the Young Bucks and Jack Perry the previous evening on Dynamite. Which, that I think it's stupid, but I can respect the effort for trying to sell an angle and get attention because WWE does that all the time with trying to get mainstream attention. He even got Pat McAfee to say something about it on his show, and which was impressive because Pat McAfee is employed with WWE. Now, granted, he was making fun of him, but I think Tony Khan got the attention that he wanted. Well, he couldn't leave well enough alone because he had to fuck it all up. Because what did he do next the next day? He called WWE the Harvey Weinstein of professional wrestling.
I saw that. I saw that.
Now, never mind what's going on with Vince right now, but if you're familiar with Harvey Weinstein at all, he is a pedophile who got ousted from Hollywood for doing a lot of inappropriate things with a lot of people, both underage and not underage. But he is a convicted pedophile. For those of you that are not familiar with the Harvey Weinstein story, so let me put that in context for you. I don't think it's the smartest move to compare a wrestling company to a pedophile. Yes, Vince has his things and stuff, but still, you can't compare a wrestling company to a convicted pedophile, you fucking idiot. I mean, how does Tony Khan expect anybody to take him seriously? And the fact that I have to address this on my show is absurd. And I have a problem with the fact that I have to address this shit because Elio can tell you, and I can attest for Elio on this point as well. That we don't like this kind of stuff. We don't like having to cover this kind of stuff.
No.
Other podcasts would absolutely thrive off this drama, and they would make an entire podcast out of the idiot that Tony Khan made himself out to be this
What is
week.
wrong with Tony Khan now? When I saw that, I'm like, what?
Many,
Because I
many.
didn't understand the reference. Because, like, I guess who is he, this guy? Like, it's
Harvey.
football. Football.
No, who's Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
He is an iconic movie producer.
Okay, see, that's why I don't know, because I don't follow, like, I guess.
Yeah, but look him up and you'll see what he did. I don't need to get into it on this show
No,
because
it's okay.
that's
I was
not.
just wondering who he was.
Yes. But yeah, this episode of Dynamite was all over the place. I mean, and the stuff afterward made it even worse. I mean, I don't know what Tony Khan is trying to accomplish. Like I said, I can give him credit for trying to, capitalize on the story and wear the neck brace and do all this and get mainstream coverage off of the NFL draft.
He's not Bobby Heenan. Stop
Well,
it.
no, he's not. But then all the subsequent stuff just pissed me off, and I no longer
Yeah.
care.
Yep.
So this getting back to strictly the wrestling aspect of it, I don't care about the storyline with Jack Perry and the Young Bucks. I don't care about Tony Khan at all, but I care about Swerve. And the fact that he was treated this way is just mind-boggling to me. And once again, I have to ask you, Elio, what are your thoughts on the IWGP Championship from NJPW getting more shine than the AEW Championship on the episode after one of your biggest, most successful pay-per-views of all time?
So again, why are we having another company's championship being defended in the main event of AEW instead of the AEW championship? It makes absolutely no sense. The IWGP should be in New Japan. It should be on a New Japan card. Yeah, like you never see the AEW championship being the main event on a New Japan card.
Exactly. That's my point to a T. So, with that being said, we can move on. But I couldn't resist going on a rant because I felt it was perfectly justified. This is the stuff about pro wrestling that I truly hate. But moving on, we got the first round of the 2024 WWE draft coming out of
Okay,
SmackDown.
do you want me to do the names for the draft?
Yes, could you?
All right, hold on, let me just pull them up here because I have them in front of me.
I'm just gonna step aside real quick and grab my drink. It's just out of reach. I'll be right back.
All right, so the first round draft of 2024, this is night one, and this is just weird because some of this makes no sense. Because the people that got drafted were already on the show that they were on prior to the draft. So round one, we've got Bianca Belair and Carmelo Hayes Bianca Belair staying on SmackDown, Carmelo Hayes moving up from NXT to SmackDown, which I thought he was already on SmackDown
So did I.
based on him being put in that tournament for the Intercontinental Championship, I believe it was. The one where he
No,
faced Kevin Owens.
it was the United States
United States
Championship.
Championship, yeah. Based on the United States Championship tournament, I thought he was already on the main roster. So that's round one. Round two, SmackDown gets Nia Jax, who moved over from Raw, and Randy Orton stays put on SmackDown. In round three, we get the Bloodline, Tama Tonga, Solo Sikoa, and Paul Heyman.
Why is the Bloodline? Now, granted, I understand that Roman Reigns declared himself ineligible, which storyline-wise, I don't get because he's no longer the champion. So where does he get the authority to do such a thing? But nonetheless, they had to find a reason to write him off, which I understand. So I'm not going to bitch about that too much outside of what I just said. But here's the problem, Elio, is Nia Jax is drafted before some heavy hitting talent such as AJ Styles, such as LA Knight. I could go on and on. And my point for bringing that up is not only to illustrate how illogical that is, but the structure of the WWE draft and the timing of it is loosely based on the NFL draft. And if you know anything about the NFL draft, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure I'm stating the obvious for a lot of you, but in case you're not familiar, the higher up the draft pick is, the more money you get, and so on and so forth. So if you're a first round pick, you're getting millions of dollars right out the gate. And you're considered very highly touted. Much more so than a third round pick, like we saw the Bloodline get picked, which just doesn't make any sense to me because the Bloodline has been the biggest storyline on SmackDown for the last 3 years. How are they gonna get picked in round three? I don't understand that at all. And you're gonna pick Nia Jax before a talent like AJ Styles and LA Knight. Hello? Are you high?
Yes,
And
LA Knight was the second pick in round three. So, round four, this is the final round, Ben. AJ Styles and Andrade.
oh my God! They need I say more. Okay, the structure of this thing is asinine. You mean to tell me, and I don't mean to harp on this, but I'm just illustrating how stupid this is. Who in their right mind would take Nia Jax before Andrade? And I'm sorry, who was the other one in the fourth round?
AJ Styles.
Andrade and AJ Styles were in the fourth fucking round. What? They're not Mr. Irrelevant, which happens in the seventh round of the NFL draft for the very last pick. But good God, where is the logic in that? And by the way, I apologize for getting animated, but this is what happens when stupid shit makes my head explode and I have to try to talk my way around buffoonery and bullshittery to try to make it make sense for people. But I can't do that in this case because AJ Styles got drafted in round four. Do you understand that at Backlash, which is the next pay-per-view, he is challenging for the undisputed championship against Cody Rhodes? And you pick him at round four. Oh my God. Do you understand furthermore? Because I'm on top of my shit when I come in here to do this. So I'm prepared. Do you understand that the OC, and I love the OC because I have connections with Luke Gallows and we have mutual friends and he's been very nice to me in the past. But do you understand that the OC, who has done absolutely nothing without AJ Styles, no disrespect intended whatsoever, I'm just calling a spade, they got drafted before he did? What? I mean, help me understand. And then people wonder why I come on here and have to get animated. Oh, it's just wrestling. I don't tell you how to do your job. What the fuck is wrong with these people?
All right, so we're gonna move on to Money at Raw now.
Or to what?
To Money at Raw, their picks.
Oh, there's more. Okay.
Round one for Money at Raw, Jey
Yeah.
Uso and Seth Rollins.
See, those are justified first round picks. Finally, something that makes sense.
Round two, Braun Breaker and Liv Morgan.
I don't think I would put Liv Morgan in round number two, but Braun Breaker, I understand that.
Round three, Ricochet and Sheamus.
What? Round three for a former WWE champion and NXT champion, North American champion, Intercontinental champion, need I go on?
And round four, are you ready for this?
I don't think so, but go ahead.
So we have Alpha Academy and Keanu James, which that was a surprise though, Keanu James.
Well, let me just tell you this, folks. And I'm sure you'll understand this when we get into the SmackDown match review portion. But I'm assuming that they're saving the best for last for night two of the draft coming up on Monday. But that's not how it's done usually. When you have the first round of the draft, that's supposed to be the heavy hitters, the heaviest of heavy hitters. And what in the fuck are the, and look, I don't mean to get upset. I know, And a lot of this I'm doing for Elio's entertainment. But still, it's worth mentioning that this is some illogical shit. And when I started this podcast, it was based off of two key concepts for me: logic and continuity in storytelling. And that is not logic to draft some of your biggest superstars in the third and fourth round, but yet you got, Liv Morgan in the second round. I mean, no disrespect to Liv Morgan, but Jesus Christ. Make it stop.
All right, so there's more draft picks post SmackDown.
Okay.
So for SmackDown, we have the OC, Cedric Alexander, and Ashante
Yay.
Theodorakis. For Raw, we have Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, Ivar, Alba Fyre, and Isla Dawn.
So pretty much the only people that moved brands in the supplemental draft after SmackDown was Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn. Yay! That's really relevant. Jesus criminy crap. And I wouldn't blame you folks if you didn't know this, but previously Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn were on SmackDown, believe it or not.
So that is the draft, your draft, your 2024 WWE draft, night
Jesus,
one.
can you say buzzkill? Good God. Mr. Irrelevant. Good God. Jesus. Okay. But Elio, I'm sure you understand why I get frustrated with these things, don't you?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, so at least there's that. So let's talk about the matches that took place on SmackDown now that we got the draft out of the way.
Okay.
So we have Legado del Fantasma versus the LWO again. My God,
I
how
know.
repetitive. At least we got some storyline progression because it was revealed that Carlito was the one that attacked Dragon Lee and cost him a spot at WrestleMania alongside Rey Mysterio. And then of course Carlito ran out of there like a little bitch.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how does Carlito, he attacks Dragon Lee from behind, this is him with backstab, but then he runs out of there like a scared little child that just got caught.
Exactly. But then again, Carlito really didn't fit with the LWO in my opinion, so I'm not really concerned with that. Plus, he was the only one that never wore LWO garb, so he always kind of separated himself from them. And even a match I expected to be a high point, and this wasn't their fault because this was time constraints. They only had 6 minutes and 18 seconds, but
Okay,
Tiffany Stratton and Naomi ended in a DQ. What? And this is when you have Bayley, the new women's champion at ringside, watching the match, so automatically you assume it's going to be something important. Like a number one contender match or something of that nature. I guess not. And then let's see. And then we have, this was actually the high point of the evening, Carmelo Hayes versus Cody Rhodes. I actually quite enjoyed this. If you needed any indication whether they were going to strap the rocket pack to Carmelo Hayes, I think we got our answer right here, which I am I am so for that, I can't even tell you. And he had a great showing in what was far and away the high point of Friday Night SmackDown. So, Elio, do you have anything to add before we go into our second round?
No, I have nothing more to add. This is a weird draft. I can't wait for Monday night to see what they do.
Yeah, but then once again, n night two. Now I understand it's a little bit backwards because they started it on SmackDown, and of course Raw is the A show, so I understand that there's going to be more action on Raw than there was on SmackDown because it's a longer show and so on and so forth. So I'm not making fun of that, but my God, way to lay an egg for night one of what's supposed to be important. And don't forget the tagline they always use: the WWE draft, shaking the foundation of the WWE universe forever. I don't think so. We'll be right back after this break. Stay right there.
All right, we're back. We are done with the weekend wrestling. Ben, we've got Dark Side of the Ring, Sensational Sherry.
Yeah, this was definitely one of the ones that I was looking forward to the most. Because quite frankly, I didn't know what was dark about Sensational Sherry. And
Neither did I.
she had always been, one of my favorites in terms of managers, so I was very excited about this one.
Now I'm guessing you saw Sensei of Sherry for the first time when you started watching 90 it when she showed up in the BCW, right?
Yeah, when she was managing Harlem Heat, and then of course later on I went back and I saw all the stuff prior to that.
Okay.
But
Yeah.
that was the first time that I had seen her work in person.
So my first time seeing her was, now I had the October 1987 issue of WWF magazine. We probably seen it on the cover, and inside they had this one section called Newsbreakers or Newsbreaker, I think something like that, and the latest breaking news. So in this issue, it had a picture sent to Sherry holding the championship that she had just won from the Fabulous Moolah. But that wasn't the first time I'd seen Sherry. I hadn't seen videos or matches of her, but I seen her in. But that wasn't the first time I've seen her in magazines, because in my black and white magazines, they had stories on Sensational Sherry in the AWA managing Doug Summers and Buddy Rose. So I
Oh,
only knew
okay.
about Sherry like in 1986.
Oh, you lucky little bitch. No, and but one of the things that they highlighted, and they were absolutely right, 'cause I started to think about this, was prior to her, there really wasn't a successful female manager, and really there's been a few and far between since her, especially that sustained level of success. And but what was really surprising was obviously they had some of the wrestling stuff, and they covered some of the important landmark moments of hers, but really it was more about sharing the person. And it wasn't, pardon the pun, but usually Dark Side of the Ring is much more sensationalized, or a lot more drama. And there really wasn't that with Sherry outside of her making the choice to pursue wrestling at the expense of her husband and child.
Yeah, and
Because
that was surprising seeing her son like that, because I'm friends with him on Facebook and we've interviewed him back in 2015, and he looked way different than what I remember.
Well, and honestly, one of Sherry's friends had said that he hadn't told her explicitly, but he thinks, or she thinks, that he has cancer. And as
Talking about
soon as I saw,
that Kathy Fitzpatrick.
yes, to be honest with you, I thought he did too, because as soon as I saw him, I'm like, he looks like Bobby Heenan when he got really sick.
Yeah.
Because you know how Bobby Heenan's appearance changed drastically, and he
Yeah.
had
Oh, I didn't recognize him.
the same shrinking of the face.
Yeah.
But aside from So that would be my educated assumption about what's going on with Jared. But of course, I'm not judging him or anything.
No.
But he also had a issue speaking because of a tongue injury or something like
Yeah.
that. I'm not sure if that was a birth related thing or if something happened because of the cancer treatment or something of that nature. But actually, what he had to say, once you got past the shock of how he looked, so sick and all of that, what he had to say, I actually found quite illuminating in terms of adding to the piece. Because a lot of people that I had seen review this thing, not a lot, but I always check out several reviews before I come on here and talk about it in detail. Several people were really criticizing her for, choosing wrestling and her pursuit of her dream over raising her son.
Yes.
And while that's perfectly understandable, because I don't even have kids, but I have a niece and nephew, and I know that if I wasn't around for them, that would bother me significantly. So I can only imagine that it would only be doubly so if it was my kid. And I certainly wouldn't make the choice to sacrifice my kid for any dream that I had. Especially if I had chosen to have that kid. But he was very much of the mindset, don't blame my mother for what she did. I have my own issues with her for that. And I've been angry with her, and I'm still angry about it, but she always made sure I was taken care of, and in a way, he was very defensive of his mother. So I think that that's telling in terms of, maybe she wasn't, she wasn't all bad toward him. And they showed the spot in her Hall of Fame speech where she was thanking him and acknowledging him. For that. So I don't think it was all bad. I think the sense that I get out where she had to make a lot of the same sacrifices that a lot of the really successful wrestlers have to make, in terms of not being there all the time for their kids. And I remember an interview that Bob Orton Jr. did, where he said, in a year, I only saw Randy maybe six times. So this caught me in the same vein, but it does suck. But at the same time, I don't think she should automatically be dragged through the mud for that. And
Now,
for go ahead,
no,
sorry.
no, go on.
But I think with a lot of the reviews that I was seeing, people were getting stuck up on that, Like, oh, okay, well, that's the dark side of Sherry that she made that choice. How dare her? Blah, blah, blah. But I think that that was unfair because if you really think about it, a lot of wrestlers and travelers who do that a lot for their job have to do that to pursue that. But the one thing that I really liked about the documentary outside of that was while it highlighted the wrestling, it really did a good job of letting us get to know Sherry the person. Because yes, she was going to pursue her dream, but she really did make a lot of sacrifices outside of her kid to get that done. You know, it highlighted how she was very dogged in her pursuit of Grizzly Smith, the father
Oof,
of
I'm using cement.
And they mentioned him and his demons and how, you know, Sherry was a little bit too old for him, so I think she got lucky in that regard, thank Christ. You know, he told her, you know, come back when you're 21, and she did, and eventually that's how she got work in
But I
wrestling to
know
start out
the
with.
thing, the part out with that Tenchi was saying where apparently they were together for a while.
Yeah, I didn't know that,
Neither did
which
I.
surprised me because I would think that that would have been all over the wrestling, you know, world at that point in time. But
Well, at that point in time, there was no internet, so
yeah,
so yeah.
I think a lot of shit went under the radar at the in the 80s, which maybe was a good thing,
Yes.
based on. But that is a nice segue to the next point of it is they really started talking about what she had to do to mask the pain that she was in because of her wrestling. Because before she became very well known as a manager, she was a wrestler,
Yep,
which
she was in
oh.
WCCW World Class.
And I didn't even know that. So,
Yeah.
because by the time my fandom rolled around, and by the time I was old enough to understand what was going on, she was in the managerial world with Harlem Heat. And then, of course, even back before that, she was with, you know, Shawn Michaels and a bunch of different people. She started out with Jim Cornette. She was Jim Cornette's first client.
Yep.
Which I found very interesting. That was back in like 72 or something. Or 76 maybe. Maybe 72 is a little bit too early. But it was a very interesting human piece. And it was just kind of nice that she wasn't like an all-out asshole, because a lot of these stories focus on the assholes of wrestling. And yeah, she did, she had her bits, but she wasn't a bad person. You know, they talked about how, you know, she was one of the boys and they really accepted her. And for her to accomplish that in that time frame, that says something, because you know, wrestling was not always a woman's space, obviously. And I think Sherry was one of the first ones to really break through that and show that she belonged here. So from that perspective, it was a very nice story. And to hear how much she was respected and how much she cared for people, and you know, how she was a sweetheart outside the ring. How often do you hear that about a wrestler? So that was nice. And you know, I mentioned earlier that they showed her at the at her Hall of Fame speech, and she was beaming, like she was so happy. So
Yeah.
from that perspective, I was very pleased for her.
That speech is up on YouTube, but I was looking around and it popped up in my in YouTube one night.
Well, yeah, and I wanna go look at that because I've never seen her acceptance speech.
Yeah.
So I wanna go back and take a look at that now, especially after watching this. What were your thoughts on the Dark Side of the
No,
Ring
it's one.
special?
I like this one. I was looking forward to this episode. Like I said, I didn't realize the dark part about Shuri, because like on screen, she always seemed to be like all there all together, right? But like you didn't really know what's going on outside of the cameras or behind the cameras.
Yeah. And I think that's the sad part of wrestling. Really, a lot of places, you know, you really don't know what's going on with people unless you get a deep dive like this. And unfortunately, you know, when you're not a celebrity and you're just like an everyday guy like the two of us, you know, you're not gonna see the dark side that people have,
Yep.
or not even that they have, because that implies that a lot of people are bad, which they're not. It's just that people have their own struggles that
They
you
have
wouldn't
people
necessarily see.
and they have people laughing at pro wrestling when they don't even know like the story behind cameras.
Which and I'll be honest with you. I mean, I've always been a fan of professional wrestling, but in the last decade, I've been very lucky to make friends within that space and really form a brotherhood with professional wrestling. So when people say that, I get especially pissed off because they're talking about friends of mine. And yes, we met because of wrestling, but I'm friends with them outside of that too. And for them to make that generalization about these people, I think it's very unfair. So I that's you know, I'm not one to get up on a soapbox, but I will defend my friends if you go there with me. And that's a criticism that I've heard of pro wrestling. Oh, which is stupid. They do that shit on purpose, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no.
Right, like stop. Like even Sherry said it herself at the towards the beginning of the documentary. This is not fake. Like she puts her body through like all that, like everything that she did on screen in front of the
Yes.
camera. And yeah, it's not fake. Like we don't come to where you work and call what you do fake.
You know, and you know, a lot of, and we could in a lot of different cases, like, what is this shit? But
Yeah.
we don't, you know. So I think it's just a reminder of not just sound all philosophical and stuff, but it really is a reminder of the human condition and what we all go through to a certain extent.
So that is Dark Side of the Ring, and actually, I was wrong. Next week is the second last episode on the Sandman.
Oh, well, that one's gonna be interesting.
And
I didn't know they were featuring him.
yeah, so that's gonna be on the Sandman, and then the week after that, which is the week I will be away, so we'll cover that one when I get back, and that will be the Black Saturday one, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yes.
And I want to get your thoughts on that because you never saw Black Saturday, did you?
No, I didn't. So
It's up
it's
on
only.
YouTube. It's up on YouTube. Go watch it. The actual event, the show itself. WBF on TBS.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah. Because I was looking it up. I'm like, ooh. I mean, Vince McMahon bought the 6:05 p.m. time slot on TBS back in '84.
Okay, well, I'll look it up, see if I can find it. I'll do that
Right.
after I watch Sherry's speech.
So that is it for Dark Side of the Ring. That brings us to our final segment, Wrestling Roulette. Ben, let me just set things up here.
Absolutely.
Just turning the speakers on here. Let me pull up Spotify list.
You're getting a behind the scenes glimpse of how we operate here on the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast.
Right? PMC exclusive.
Exclusive. Exactly.
Okay, see, I have to. Okay, let's go.
Do we have to
Yeah.
pause for ad consideration?
There we go. There we go. That's connected. Now I'm just gonna pull up Spotify and hopefully we don't get any ads, which I'm sure Ben will like because it makes me angry.
I laugh my ass off at his anger. There's something about people with accents when they get angry, and when it's not directed at me, which I don't think Elio has ever been angry at me. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I find it hilarious.
All right, we don't have any ads so far. So, Ben, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait, before we do that, let me go grab my decanter so I can keep track of the score here.
Okay.
So, I'm just opening up the counter here.
This
All
is a rather long PNC exclusive, but here you go, folks. The world of
right.
podcasting.
All right, so Wrestling Roulette. I play 21 tracks. Ben has to guess which wrestler that theme belongs to. I play 10 seconds, and we have the obstacles along the way. If a wrestler's theme shows up more than once in the rotation, it's minus 1 point. Ben, are you ready for your first one? All
Yes, sir.
right, here we go.
Is that I know it's a girl, but I can't. Casey Catanzaro.
No, it's not. That is Johnny Gargano.
Oh, well, I was wrong on both fronts.
All right, number two, here we go.
Impressive.
Pass. I'm not sure.
That is Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell.
Oh God, we have a theme here. I'm sorry.
All right, number
Jesus.
three. Here we go.
That the Miz?
No, it is not. That is Jack Swagger.
Oh, Bill.
All right,
That
number
song
four.
sucks.
Here we go, number four.
Not getting off to a very good start here, but I got a pass.
Right, that is a Private Party.
Yeah, I would never have gotten that. I'm cool with that.
All right, here we go at number five.
Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre. All right.
We're off this night, folks.
Then,
Yay!
you know what's funny about this? This is Drew McIntyre's theme now, right?
Yeah.
But it says CFO. I thought all CFO was they got rid of all CFO because it's a Def Rebel now.
I don't know. Maybe they kept some of them.
All right, here we go, number six.
Oh, Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan. All right, number seven.
Ken Shamrock.
Ken Shamrock. How? How?
Don't know.
All right, number seven. You want number eight.
We had to hear the horns first. John Cena.
John Cena. All right, you're up to four, number nine.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yes, you're up to five. Wait, that was number nine, I said, right?
Yes.
All right, number 10, here we go.
Holy shit. Pass.
That is Fuego del Sol.
Well, fuck AEW themes. What the fuck?
Right, here we go. Number 11.
What the fuck is that? Pass.
That is Ryan Namath.
Okay, well, I'm proud of myself.
All right, number 12, are you ready?
Yeah.
Make it move, make it move, make it billion dollar move, make it.
That's an underrated team right there. Primetime players.
No, it's not.
Oh, shut up, bitch.
It doesn't say primetime players here.
We know what it is, okay? Titus O'Neil or Darren Young is primetime
Oh,
player.
I'm just messing. You know, you're up to six. Here we go. Number 13. Here we go.
Throwback Randy Orton, Burning My Light. He
Yes.
hated that song, apparently.
I don't know why, I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, number 14.
I'll take a stab in the dark. Bill DeMott.
No, it is not. That is Luther Reigns.
Okay, well, that's irrelevant.
Why is it irrelevant?
Because it's Luther Reigns. Who cares?
Do you remember Luther Reigns?
Yes, yeah, general manager of SmackDown, Kurt Angle's
No,
lackey.
but do you remember his other name that he went by before that?
No.
I think he called him Horseshoe. I don't
What?
know. Yeah. All right, number
Oh
15.
my God.
You are number 15.
Chris Jericho.
No, it's not. It's Y2J. Okay,
Oh, well, I
you're up to
mean.
number eight. You're up to eight. All right, number 16. Are you ready?
Yeah. Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley. All right, it's number 17.
I have no idea.
That's Wade Barrett.
I'm sorry. That theme sucks. Moving on.
All right, number 18.
I'm back, I'm better than ever.
I'm starting to really like Eric Bischoff because he calls Tony Khan out on so much of his shit.
Yes, Eric Bischoff. All
And
right,
Tony Khan gets all upset.
number 19.
Come on.
Oh, minus one. Back down to eight, man. All right.
Fuck you, Chris Jericho.
Here we go, number 20.
No one
Let's see.
wants to sit under your fucking learning tree.
Here we go,
He
number 20.
has Morrissey campaigning to be under his learning tree, ladies and gentlemen. How relevant could it possibly be?
What? Morrissey? What? Why? Why? Stop
It
it.
was on
You might as
the
well
latest
have the whole, you might
edition of
as
Dynamite.
well have the Smiths be under the learning tree. Shut the fuck up. Okay, whatever. Just stop.
See, you pissed the gentleman, Elio, off. What the
Here we go, number 20.
He's a man. Such a man.
Steven Regal, aka William Regal.
That is literally 10 seconds long, that intro.
That's awesome.
All right, you're up to nine. All right, this is the last one. Are you ready?
Yep.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table.
Triple H.
Triple H. All right, your final score is 10.
I always like that theme better than this current one.
Which one, the game or King of Kings?
I like that one better than the game.
No, but you
Which
said
I
you like this one better than which one? King of Kings or the game?
The game.
Okay, yeah, I like this one.
Yeah, I
All
do
right,
too.
so your final score is 10. Ben, let's take a look at what number track 22 would have been.
Yep. What? I don't think I've ever heard that.
And you never will again because that is Shorty G.
Well, some things deserve to die, folks. That was one of them for sure.
Oh my God, I don't know whose the bright idea that was. Who thought that would be a good
I
idea?
know
We're gonna call him
whose idea
Shorty
it
G.
was. It
Well, we
was
well, I'm sure. Well, I know we already know, but I'm saying like.
Vince.
I don't know who thought that that would be good. We're gonna look at you. Look at you, pal. You're a shrimp. Look at you. I'm short. We're calling Shorty G.
Oh. Bye-bye, Vince.
Shut
Oh,
right, so that is wrestling. We'll let Ben Wesley bring the show to a close.
yeah. Quick programming note though.
Oh.
Because of Elio's travel schedule, he gets to do some international traveling of his own, the lucky bastard. That means that in 2 weeks we will not be covering NJPW Resurgence because Elio will be laying on a beach with an umbrella drink. So fucking, what the hell? But we shall persevere and it's one last pay-per-view I have to cover, which I would have covered it with no problem, but threaten me with a week off and a good time, who am I to say no? But having said that, we still got plenty more to come before Elio goes on vacation, so you still have to put on your big boy pants, you stupid bitch.
We have a night two of the draft that we'll be back on Tuesday with our backlash predictions.
Yes, and so that's gonna be a huge show because between the draft and Backlash Productions, you don't want to miss that. With that being said, we'll sign off for today. I'm Ben. He's Elio. Elio, hit the goddamn outro music. What are you doing?
While the sick get sicker, the profits from the people feed the poor another needle. The flames get bigger while the moths all shiver. They're subsidizing evil with no budget for a